It's another installment of the Mahoning Movement Show at Youngstown Studio. Special guests today, Jessica Romeo and Megan Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hi.
Our pleasure. So, Honeycomb, up and running.
We have had our first event, our first fundraiser. We did a celebration of both Coy and his wife, Judy. On August 28th, and we had musical and dance performance, and some local artists showed. We collaborated with Grayland and Rocco Sate down there, and had some other donors for some art pieces, and we were quite successful in that endeavor. We had Jessica and Adam Lee prepared
slinging food.
That was really good. The tacos,
yeah, but
really amazing tacos. Yes. Those were fantastic.
Adam made some vegan ones, but I made Barilla tacos, and he's not here.
So. and performance and musicians. We had multiple DJs as well as live performances by White Rican and Youngstown Drummer. I think were the other folks. JQuest. DJ Gravity, but for this one,
we have JQuest and DJ Gravity again, Dr. Goo.
And Dr. Goo is going to be joining
good
us.
Good old Brandon Martin.
Because we the 30th. Forgot.
We're doing a Samhain All Hallows Eve feat.
On, yes, October 30th, it's a Saturday night. We're going to run from 8 until 11. We've got some dark art pieces, dark what's behind the mask. Seasonal, as it were, art that we're showing in the gallery. And that is a collaborative show. It's multiple artists that will be highlighted there. And as far as performance, we also have Mark Lee Pringle will be doing.
He'll be at Maples on Friday.
Mark Lee Pringle is amazing.
He's amazing.
So we'll have Mark Lee Pringle and the Fire Spinner, Larissa, the Smitten Kitten, will be returning.
The Smitten Kitten.
To spin some fire.
I know.
She's very kitty, too. She's darling. And she spins fire around. She's got hoops, and there might be another Fire Spinner, but I can't commit to that yet. It depends on if I have too much to drink. But additionally, we have a burlesque performer, and we'll be hosting a mini drag show. We have a few performers who are committed for that. Multiple DJs, as I said, and Festive, who our caterer for
Trina
Williams, who also be catering on Friday too.
Small young
Trina's
town.
Great. Which her and Dan Martini will be our guests next week on the show.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I don't know how
she's
many days
very
are...
close on her fundraiser.
Yeah,
fashion
which
catering. That's
everyone's
exciting.
Gotta check that out. Trina Williams is having a fundraiser. And it's not just a fundraiser charity thing, it's actually you're investing in it as well. They have this cool like credit thing set up where you could minimum's $100, but you become like a part owner of her business.
I am an investor.
I do too.
All right, it's very good.
Excellent. Yeah, so that'll be cool. Yeah, Trina's is great. Yeah, she'll be here next week with Dan Martini. So she's catering on October 30th.
She is. She's doing a char spookery tray for us, Halloween themed charcuterie. She's going to be very creative. I can't wait to see what she does.
Is she bringing food, by the way?
Oh,
next week. I think Dan was like trying to con her into doing it. Well, that'd be great. So, Coy Cornelius and Judy Rogers Studio on Belmont. What's the address?
1931 Belmont Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio. We're right across from Byright Muffler, between where the VA was and the VA is.
And the old Crystals as well.
In the old Crystals restaurant.
That's a temporal paradox right there.
Isn't
between
it?
Between where the VA was and where the VA is.
Well, directions for the old school Youngstowners, because you always say, down by where the... by where the Avalon used to be, not where the Avalon is now.
Yeah. I miss that old Avalon too.
Yeah, by the Earl Shribe. But there's no Earl Shribe anymore. Yeah. But yes, so right there at that 5 point by the where the Dairy Queen used to be. That's all my little neighborhood right there.
Well, Megan, give us a brief synopsis of the past, what 18, 20 years. So I remember when you were first doing stuff, well, you both were doing stuff at the old Quay Cornelius.
The Masters Company Arts Center and Martin Luther. Mm-hmm.
So I was first at the Youngstown Masters Company Arts Center with Quay. I landed there in 99 as a tenant. And it was an intense year. I was working at Cedars and I had two other jobs. And I don't know, the tower erupted and things got crazy. And when I came back, I went to massotherapy school and somebody said, Koi's got a massage therapist and he's building her a space down there. Joe Petaline was like, go call Koi. And I did. And it worked out that the woman he was building it for had another path that came along. And so he had a space right outside of my old apartment. And at the time, Jessica and Jan Margetko were putting on Mayfair, and it was the night after her birthday. And
Claire was a patron of my arts.
So, Billy Danielson lived upstairs at the time, and he had moved in the weekend before he started at YSU, and his senior show was hanging in the art gallery. And Jess had a great party. We
had a one-man show.
A one-man show.
Koi very kindly hung those mirrors.
Yes. So Jess.
Fast for difficult things.
She had an amazing show in the roof of the warehouse on the second floor. There was a. We wore ball gowns and there was a chocolate fountain.
There was a chocolate fountain and there was cheesecake. That's how you know you've made it. If you have good desserts, you know, and meat with your cheese.
And her band also performed in ball gowns. And
just
well,
me in the ball
she
gowns.
Was the only
the
one.
Boys not.
Yes, the boys worked so much. And there was a large hood sculpture of Koi's that was at the very top of that 24-foot staircase because it was on the second floor. And I was like, just let me give me something to have at the Mayfair. And Paul Bishop and Jan took that piece in the hood down and they installed it at Cedars. And I begged Billy Danielson, just give me a couple pieces.
And most of my pieces went to Cedars, except for
most of your pieces.
You know, those couple.
There was the one. And Billy said he didn't want his art in that smoky bar. And I said, give me some that are framed in glass. And the next day, the warehouse burned to the ground.
So that's
2005.
That's a life lesson to artists, you know? If we come asking for your pieces in our gallery. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I saw a psychic that night at the Mayfair also, and he said, your business is about to blow up. I guess I didn't quite hear what he was saying, but it burned down the very next day. So Koi ended up acquiring, we looked at several places, including the Calvin and the Armory, which used to be where the Calvary was, and landed at Ambrosio's at Crystals. And Koi took it down to the Studs and created the salon. Mm-hmm. Which is now the home of the Grooming Genie. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer Neal had designed and created a yoga space there. And that's our red room. And there's two long galleries. I have a little massage space on the first floor. Mm-hmm. And then what used to be the bar is now a residential apartment that is also on the first floor. There's additional space upstairs that's not for the public, but... Yeah, it's got a lot of room. And the basement's got this really cool wine locker. It's super creepy. But Koi was there. He took it to the extent that he could, and he passed in 2009, and so his wife came to be the owner of the gallery. Mm-hmm. Her name's Judy. She was the director of the YWCA during the 80s, and she actually was the director there when they began the Women's Art Show, which is now, I think, in its 30... 30-something year.
Which I think Emily Rauschenbach, I think she's kind of running the Women's Art Show.
Oh, right. Yes.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which her and Daniel have been helping hang the Maple Show, too.
Well, so that's fantastic.
Nice art community we got going.
Yeah. So that's, yes. And Judy did pass this year in April, and so the building has come to me. And we have, over the last 7 years, done pop-up markets for Small Business Saturday, which we'll be doing again this year. That's on November 27th. And we do like a last minute market in December as well. And that's all local artists or crafters bringing their wares to a community area. But there's herbalists and people who make soaps and healing herbal items, but also handmade items. It's not a if you sell makeup for a community that you grab a table. It's something that which you've crafted yourself, mm-hmm. and that which has a vision or an artistic aspect to mm-hmm. it, to what they're presenting. It's what our vendors have. And
that's through this year.
That's what's going on. We've done pride events and had LGBT shows. We've had selfie events where each artist creates their vision of themselves, and those are some of the most amazing pieces.
We were talking about another one.
I think that's a direction we should go in. We hosted Youngstown Wants to Skate, that fundraiser with Dakota Jackson, that was headed by Steph Blair and Heather Sino. And they're Art House on Elm.
Yeah, that's a great spot.
And that's
too.
A beautiful space. I think Steph's show is showing right now Art House on Elm. So go see Steph Blair.
So is that the show that they commissioned artists to do a bunch of skateboards for?
Yes, there were 50 mm-hmm. skateboards, mm-hmm. and the artists got to set their price point mm-hmm. with whatever.
I caught that one at the Wardbread Bakery.
The ones that had not sold,
I caught the leftovers.
Took it down because they were having their winter market at the time, and I think mm-hmm. that was 2019. Mm-hmm. We did that. Mm-hmm. But we've also had Red Tent in the space. Mm-hmm. And Red Tent is our monthly women's gathering, and we do that on the Sunday closest to the new moon at 3:00 PM, and we get together, do girl stuff, women things, you know, a little light witchcraft, whatever, man. We do personal development stuff and support each other in community mm-hmm. as women, because
definitely women's community support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's I have always derived my strength from my interactions with my female friends. Wherever I land, there's always some homegirl who has picked me up. Mm-hmm. Just provided a space for me to live when I needed one, and I have provided other people places to live in her home when she had space that was available to be rented. It's just general, just taking care of sisters in that way. It's community.
Yeah, it's a community. It's an arts
service
and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Community.
So, and yoga, of course, has been there, and I do a belly dancing workshop here and there, and we have a orthobiotomy workshop that is being hosted in that space.
What's orthobiotomy?
Orthobiotomy is a massage therapy modality. It's spontaneous release by positioning. Mm-hmm. It's very passive, but it allows the body to reset itself into tension patterns that are most functional for your body to feel safe. So it has to do with trauma and unwinding trauma or knots and niches, and the way the connective tissue normally should slide over one another. Sometimes it gets snagged, and it's almost like unhooking, like a hook and latch system, mm-hmm. because the way that muscle tissue flows over one another, it can get stuck, and you need to smush it to get it to let go sometimes.
Oh, so when's that?
It's a lot more intense than that. That was like my very, like, how I would explain it to a fifth
and having
grader.
Had it done to me, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, they just like pull your toe and line you up, you know.
You articulated it very well.
Yeah. Thank you.
When's that going to be?
That's November 5th, 6th, and 7th. Oh. And if anybody needs that information, they can contact me at Koi Cornelius and Judy Rogers Studio on Facebook. Or Honeycomb Arts and Wellness.
They should definitely like Honeycomb Arts and Wellness page. And,
like
and
us on the Facebook the and come to the show. We do have tickets.
There are tickets.
There are physical tickets. If you get those from a Honeycomb member, then they're only $10. It's $15 at the door or online.
Oh, good deal.
So come talk to us about that.
All right. Well, to shift gears now. So Jessica, in addition to... your involvement with Honeycomb and all the other things you do.
Yeah.
But what about the hats?
The hats. All the
she
hats.
She wears all the hats.
Oh, yeah, you have multiple hats you put on. Yeah.
She's the president.
So with Mercy Health, you're doing things with healthy communities. So the overall concept of the show is to talk about advocating for active transportation trails. And so you were kind enough to speak on June 25th when we had a thing at the Knox Building.
Mahoning Movement.
About the Mahoning Movement, so talk about healthy communities and what the initiatives are. You're doing stuff like Sarah Lowry and doing a...
Yes, I just joined the Active Transportation Action Team. I'm very excited. Did you know, fun fact, 1,523 miles of bicycle trails in Ohio, making us the state that has the most bicycle miles in the 50 contuous United States.
Really?
That's very special.
I thought New York was with the new Empire Trail.
By miles. It's us by miles. So maybe not continuous miles, but we have the most miles of bike trails in the United States.
And if we just do this last 45 miles between Struthers and Ravenna, then we can relax for a little
bit. We'll be in the Guinness Book of World Records. No one will take our crown. You know, it's nice for Ohio to be known for something like that, that contributes so much to active lifestyles, public health.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, everything comes down to food and activity. That seems basic. I'm a dietitian, you know.
Right.
Food has everything to do with the land. Activity has everything to do with how much food you need. So definitely those things.
You know about the whole pawpaw thing? Daniel was just telling me about this last night. There's like this pawpaw craze going around.
Yes.
I guess it's the only indigenous fruit to Ohio.
And it grows in gullies. So Crandall Park would be perfect for pawpaw. Have you eaten a pawpaw?
I don't think I've had.
I have one in my fridge. I'll
give you. Really? Yeah.
Sweet. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Oh, they're like pineapple banana custard, and you kind of get the custard off the seed, and then they brew beer out of them because they have such a short period of time.
Yeah, I heard like some kind of like when you break the stem, it releases a fungus to... or something like that.
Actually, to propagate themselves, you have to bury the whole fruit, you know, so you can't eat the ones that you want to become new trees.
Interesting.
And they grow very well here. So do persimmons. There are persimmons on the north side.
That's cool.
I was riding my bicycle.
Found a persimmon?
I was riding my bicycle, you know, and my little eye spotted a persimmon tree in what used to be one of the Grow Youngstown gardens. They were perfectly ripe. You know how when they're not ripe, they do that thing? You know, where they give you, like, this tongue fur, and you're like, and it's horrific. Well, that's the first ripe persimmon I've ever had, because it's not something you can just get to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. After all that traveling, it's going to be any good, but a Northside persimmon?
So the super ideal for having the active transportation.
And if I'd been driving, I never would have seen it. You have to be riding your bicycle.
Exactly.
Bicicleta. It all comes back to the bicycle active transportation.
So how nice would it be to have a trail that went through a pawpaw/persimmon grove? And
it'd be fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I think that could be a huge selling point for tourism. Because, of course, healthy community, healthy economy, everyone being active, you know, using their cars less.
I remember Jim Converse had some great statistics about if we consumed food locally, how much it would mean to the economy and the environment and whatnot. I can't remember what those numbers were, but it's pretty interesting to think what a difference it would make and like how, I mean, you're talking about like a global system of capitalist-driven food, which has decimated some parts of the world because they were forced to grow cash crops and not the food that they relied upon to eat. And so, and that contributed to desertification and whatnot. So having local food production is essential, not just to, for healthy communities, mm-hmm. but also for economy and for the environment.
And I mean, look at what COVID did to the food system. I mean, you can see how very weak a centralized food system is when there are shortages like that. If we had a very strong local growing system, that wouldn't have happened. We would have had everything that we needed right here.
Mm-hmm. So it's fun to find that intersection mm-hmm. between culture, food, and transportation. And hopefully with this whole project, we can figure all that out. And
so
actually,
this kind of project's fantastic because by building awareness the way that you are, you're getting the community behind you to do something. And that's how things happen in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's
and in public health, you know, getting the community aware and behind all of your programming. I mean, even at Mercy, we have a lot of really great programs, and that's why we sit on these committees and try to do these things, because it raises awareness and gets people behind it. Mm-hmm. My department alone, we have Stepping Out. So that is one of our exercise programs we do in the community for free. We have Resource Mothers, Fatherhood Support, and then me, Community Health Events. That's what I do.
And your cooking show.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of a community health event, sort of. But community health events like Mahoning Movement that you're putting on that we'll show up for and try to help get the word out there to see if that's what everybody wants to do in the community. Get everybody more active. Get everybody doing active transportation.
Yeah. Physical health and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And community building.
Yeah. Joe, you got any questions?
No, I'm just a great observer here.
What else we got going on? I mean, we got 7 minutes left to the show.
We're going to this awesome art show on Friday.
Yeah, Honeycomb going to be at the Maple Turner show.
Yes.
Yeah, excited about that. Maple was our guest here on the show 2 weeks ago. And
he had fantastic stories. I'm going to be like Maple Turner when I go. You know?
Yeah. And that
He's
was fun.
He's got a fashion sense, too. He blew me away with how he dresses.
Mm-hmm. He does.
That was when you both spoke at the June 25th event. And
we did.
Well, that was a lot of fun that night.
Mm-hmm.
And you're bringing your A game on.
I am. The artist said, bring your A game. Women in Youngstown are the classiest women, and they should bring their A game if they want to get, you know.
There'll be special prizes.
Special prizes. I intend to get a special prize. I have an A game dress all lined up. Loves are pretty equal in life, and that's the arts, public health, and food.
Yeah.
So
it'll be. Yeah. I have a ball gown that I intend to wear. Yeah.
Bring that A game.
I don't know about my A game, but it's a ball gown for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an A game.
It is an A game.
It's always an A game.
We'll have to do it. Yes.
We'll have to do it.
Youngstown women.
You know, Koi used to do my hair.
Mm-hmm.
So besides being my patron in my arts, he would do my hair. And part of what Honeycomb is meant to do is provide space for artists
mm-hmm.
the way that Koi always did for us. And it means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to all of you. So
mm-hmm.
I was very excited when Megan asked me to be part of starting the 501 nonprofit to continue that legacy and provide space for artists.
It's to provide space
and
resources for the artistic and spiritual wellness. Well, the building provides is a little mantra that we quote around it. And it's amazing. Sometimes you just need to say it out loud and then you'll like trip over it physically. Or
someone to all that. I mean, I have that experience at the Knox building too. Like somewhere in that building is something I need.
Yes. If we need it, it's usually there.
Mm-hmm.
Or the means to get it is there. And that's a charm that I sit in gratitude for all the time.
And for a city of our size, I mean, just the places we mentioned just today, I mean, we mentioned Ward Bakery being an artist resource, the Calvin Center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're lucky for a city of our size. And then we have, you know, the Butler Institute of American Art.
And McDonough.
Yeah, McDonough. And so we are lucky as a community here, and
mm-hmm.
And you know, we've all been in the trenches a long time, and it's, you know, I'm glad that it's looking like there's another generation come along too behind us that carry on the traditions.
The important part is to support people when they're trying to express themselves. We want to be seen, we want to be heard, and we want to know that we matter. Like, that's intrinsically what humans desire. Mm-hmm. And if we can give anybody the opportunity to express their vision and have their voice be heard, mm-hmm. I think that that's very valuable. You know, service to be provided.
And on that Maslow's hierarchy of needs to achieve their potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I'm looking forward to October 30th.
Yeah, it'll
be remember the time. Halloween party was in 2008 when we did Man Man, and that was with Brandon Martin.
Yes, and, Jacob and I have performed on stage with Brandon and other folks.
Oh gosh, it's a reunion.
It is a
reunion. I saw that show at the Lemon Grove.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
You
performed it.
Yes.
A little bit here and there.
Yeah. There was a little belly dance number.
he was a character.
There was a cutlass sword involved. Is that a sword or a cutlass?
I thought it was a scimitar.
Oh.
No, I have
just
a scimitar.
Sword. I don't know all the...
I dance with a scimitar on my head.
Wasn't it a cutlass that he had, though? It looked like a pirate sword.
It was an arced sword, I think. But I didn't know that was a cutlass. I thought a cutlass was something you drive.
Old company.
I thought it was... I'll have to look it up. I thought it was just a saber of some nature.
I think it was a cutlass because of this light curve.
Okay.
Proper identification.
Yes. No, you're not.
There's been some wild belly dancing. And then sadly, the one night that, there was the night Bob Hagen got punched at the old Lemon Grove, and that was. When you do the belly dancing thing, it unleashes these kind of strange. I'm pretty agnostic overall, but it unleashes some kind of things in the ether, and then so that it was during a belly dance performance.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
It really is. There's a magic to it, and there's a matrilineal knowledge that's passed on. That's really the basis of belly dancing, is mother to daughter, mm-hmm. and knowing how to increase the blood flow. It helps with fertility. It helps with labor and delivery. It's magical is what it is, but it does create chaos. But sometimes you need chaos for a shift, for sure. Yeah. Exactly. All of the excess.
Well, yes. Keep on bringing that good magic in the community.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, a chaotic good.
Chaotic good, for sure.
And we'll see you Friday for Maple Show, and we'll see you October 30th for... what are you calling it again?
It's the Samhain All Hallows Eve Fete. Samhain is the pagan term for
feet.
Halloween. It's the time where the veil is lowest.
Is that like more Gaelic?
Yeah, that is a Gaelic thing. And the veil thins between the worlds, and you're supposed to be able to commune with the spirits of your departed.
And it corresponds to Dia de los Muertos, which is
It's cool how, I mean, there's quite a distance between, Scotland and Ireland and Mexico, but there's a universality to it all of the idea of those veils between the worlds,
falling. But also, Catholicism had, it's All Hallows Eve, it's All Souls Day is on the first, so it actually is an acknowledgement of the eve of that, which truly was the integration and assimilation by Catholicism to the pagan holidays that existed.
Mm-hmm. They got a lot of
tying mythologies together.
And yes, so to
just like
to
our Christmas
that
tree
path. Exactly. it's a druidic practice to have a Christmas tree. We've been spent a lot of solstice together also. Yes. Yes, that's what it's Samhain, a fete. It's All Hallows Eve fete. We'll be featuring potions and treats.
Sweet.
And there will be sugar skulls.
Yes. Yes, there will be.
You can get the tickets online or see.
We have an Eventbrite link that you can hit on our event on the Honeycomb Arts and Wellness Facebook page. And you just click under events and it's our Samhain. It's spelled Samhain.
Oh.
But it said Samhain. But yes, it's an indigenous practice. I think it also has to do with like the leaves falling and the idea that things are hibernating or going to sleep or what looks like a death. And that whole, at least previously seasonally, I think it's like 75 outside today. It's gorgeous. But Youngstown weather, right? Yes.
Sweet. Well, looking forward to it. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We'll see y'all next week with Dan Martini and Trina Williams here in the studio, Youngstown Studio.
Yep.
Thanks to Joe Danny for having us on, and See you next time.
Thank you.